Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon, sponsored by Ethos and Calm. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last, and subbing this time for Sunny Bunch is Mary Catherine Ham.
There's a girl in the studio!
Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Look on our podcasts and search for Subbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. This is like when you're... Could you imagine JVL playing D&D and with your buddies when you're 14, 18? I don't know. And all of a sudden, like, a girl says, oh, I want to play...
The captain of the cheerleading squad
shows up. Yeah, the captain of the cheerleading says, oh, I want to play... I'd love to play. Okay, so that's what it is right
now. Very strange having, I would say, a girl in the show.
Is this our first time having...
First guest. Period.
Well, no, I mean Warren, Mike Warren of
really
CNN.
Count.
Yeah, I do not have a Michael Caine impression. You'll be delighted to know.
What are you saying about mulch? Him?
When you do you use pine straw? I've come from North Carolina. Do you prefer mulch or pine straw in your garden?
I hate to betray my state, but I do use mulch.
Wow.
It's red. It's pretty.
Oh, red mulch.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you know what my wife uses. Mary Catherine, welcome.
Thank you.
We're very excited to have you.
I am both nervous and honored. And I was going to make a D&D reference, but I can't because I don't understand it.
Wow. See, already the put downs begin already. How was your week? How's your week going? Anything good? Anything interesting happening with you?
There's a couple things going on.
Yeah, please.
I'm moving. So I have to deal with this, which I know you'll sympathize with, JVL. The thing where you have 18 drawers of catch-all stuff.
Yes.
And you're at the very end of the move, and you have to figure out whether you should just dump all that in the trash, or like a certain dishwasher rack, will it come back to haunt you that you threw away all of these connectors and all of these things? And so that is what I'm weeding through at the moment and throwing just loads of nonsense into the back of my car that I tell myself I will deal with later.
Lord Bezos has made it easier to throw things away.
This is true.
Right? Because the truth is, if you need any of this stuff that you throw away, he will bring it to you in 24 hours.
This is true.
The only thing is, it's also part of the hoarder's complex.
Well,
you're absolutely convinced that the one thing that you do throw away is the one thing you'll need. And that happens a lot. And you're going to end up saying, man, I wish I still had that menu from Blue Diamond Chinese restaurant.
So what about this as a halfway option? You take all
chopsticks
of these things... And you dump them into a cardboard box, okay? Then you tape the cardboard box, and you, like, draw, like, the mystery sign on it.
That's a good one.
Okay? And you move it with you, but you set a date on your calendar where if you have not had to go into that box to look for something by that expiration date, then without opening the box, you simply throw the entire thing in the trash.
Yeah, leave it in the curb.
A, this assumes that there's only one box full. B, the date will be sometime next week because I am moving in with my fiancé.
Oh, congratulations.
Who is like, he's like customs. When you come through that door, you got to check everything you got.
Do you have anything to declare?
He is the opposite of a hoarder. So I got to just run everything through there.
He's a great guy. And he's like... If listeners want to know what he's like, just picture the opposite of me.
That's a very good way to describe
something. In every sense.
But, you know, this is good, though, because you, if you throw it away and then come to regret it, you can then blame it all on him.
That's true.
Right.
So
right.
I would say that's freeing. Just toss it all.
That's true. And he's basically impervious to that complaint.
There you go.
He will refer me to Lord Bezos.
There. Wonderful. I like the way he rolls.
JVL, what's going on with you?
Well, because this is sort of a milestone for us.
It is. It's a big one.
And we have our very loyal listeners and a regular audience who know us well. I want them to be able to know a little bit about you and about where you're coming from. And I would like them to understand, just as a journalistic matter, your biases when it comes to the show. So they can get they can get what you mean here.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so I've devised a small battery, a sort of global personality survey, perspective survey for you that I thought we could do just again in the interest of disclosure.
I can also disclose my Enneagram, my Myers-Briggs, whatever everybody needs. It's fine.
So Vic and I are going to ask you a series of either or questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we need you to just sort of snap response.
Mm-hmm. I knew this wasn't going to be easy.
You walked in. It's a trap. Go ahead.
Frozen or Moana?
Moana.
Ni Hao Kailan or Dora?
Dora.
Paul Walker or Vin Diesel?
Paul Walker.
Beatles, Rolling Stones?
Beatles.
Daenerys or Cersei?
Ooh, Danny.
Bojangles or Popeyes?
Bojangles. Now that was easy.
I wasn't giving you an easy one.
Fast and Furious or Mission Impossible?
Fast and Furious.
Rommel or Montgomery?
I don't even know this one.
Pass!
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Trump or Warren? You know it's binary.
Oh, gosh. Pass again.
Disney or Pixar?
Disney. Mm.
Oh, look at that. There we go.
Hitler or Stalin? We're talking about like Battle of Stalingrad. Who do you pick?
Oh, God. I can't go on record with this stuff.
Gagnon style or Old Town Road?
Oh, that's good.
Old Town Road.
Okay. That's it for me. I've run out. That's all, yeah.
Tapper or Saliza?
Oh, wow.
Team Tapper.
What?
What?
You know, I believe only one of them is a true listener to the show.
I can't believe
and
that.
And he is so hurt.
Saliza will understand.
I am outraged on Chris's behalf.
That is terrible. That is terrible.
We now move to the lightning round.
I knew I'd get in trouble with one of them.
We now move to the lightning round. The best animated movie of all time is?
Oh. Oh my gosh, I don't know. Hold on. I can't think about this so fast.
Well,
best animated movie of all time. I'm sorry. I can't. Oh. I'm overwhelmed.
So like on the $64,000 pyramid, you got to pass to move on to the next category.
Okay, pass.
The best kids TV show is?
Oh, this is silly, but I like the rebooted My Little Pony.
Oh.
The best Star Wars movie is?
Empire Strikes Back.
The best comic book movie is?
I like the original Avengers.
Ooh,
oh, no. Also, I love Thor Ragnarok, though. That one is hilarious.
Superman 3 was the actual answer with Richard Pryor.
Final question, then we can move on. You're in a desert, walking along in the sand, when all of a sudden you look down and you see this. How does this make you feel?
I see what that is from here.
I am confused and horrified. It's like a superimposed Vic.
It's like snuff.
Which one of them is superimposed?
He found it on the dark web.
What is that?
So what I am showing is, if you guys will remember from last week, the Naughty Fork. There was the Vic doppelganger.
Morimoto.
Is that who that
is? Yeah, the Iron Chef.
Wow.
Who looks exactly like Vic. And somebody went
from
and
that
took
angle.
That picture and then superimposed Vic into the picture. And it looks like double Vic.
It does look like double
Vic. It looks like Vic,
Vic
and replicant Vic.
It looks
that
like,
is
it looks
wow.
It looks
this will haunt you for all your days.
It will.
It's haunting me because he looks like he has such a nice sort of a pallor and it's hard to tell who's older. In fact, he's 64. 64. But that's a life of eating sushi.
His eyeglass frames are also under less stress.
Wait a minute. You're the new person here. Why am I getting teamed up on like this and not in a good way? Okay. Thank you. JVL, I was going to ask you, how about the Nats? You are...
Oh, I was going to save my World Series update for later.
Okay, good.
But
you can do that.
Yeah, how are you, Victorino?
I am doing fine. So just a little bit of personal news for some of you who might have been... Those of you who were wondering where I was last week And I think word had gotten out, so some people didn't know where I was. I was up in New Jersey keeping my mother company because she had surgery. And so that's where I was. I was at the Capital Health Hospital in Hopewell, New Jersey. And the surgery was successful. Everything went well. But I was there for the whole week. And I just wanted to give a shout out to all the doctors and the nurses and specialists at Capital Health. Dr. Cataldo Doria. From Thomas Jefferson Medical Center. It was fantastic. So I want to thank all of them. And I have to say, going up there, JVL, is going through your neck of the woods. So you go up through 295.
Yeah, you
and
do.
And Hopewell is, I think, exit 67. Or you go off at 1. You get off of 295 to get on 1. So on the way up, I thought of you because exit 40.
Exit 40, that's me, baby.
Is Moorestown. I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is Rancocas Woods?
Rancocas Woods is a little quasi-town nearby, which is one of these. It's like an incorporated bird.
It's not actually like a forest of, per se, or maybe it is.
Well, it might have been at one time. I mean, at one time when I moved to Morristown, it was a small town with peach orchards everywhere, and now all the orchards are gone and filled with McMansions.
You're like Christopher Walken in Blast from the Past. Your neighborhood was once, you know, orange trees, and now it's something else.
Yeah, it changed.
Isn't
295 so much more pleasant than taking the turnpike?
It is, but you have a lot more sights and a lot more
options for food and bathrooms.
It's also a whole. Yes, that's definitely true. I'm sure Mary Catherine. It feels like sunny when we have these conversations.
Yeah, I'm standing in quite well right now.
Yes, you are. Also, a whole different part of New Jersey. I know people all think that it's just one little tiny state, but I'm telling you, the Westerns, it's its own world. I pass towns like Repopo, West Deptford.
Oh, yeah, West Deptford.
And also, there Love seems West to be Deptford. Another Red Bank. There are two Red Banks.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Red Bank.
The Red Bank down near Deptford is actually a Revolutionary War battlefield.
That's crazy.
Where they shelled the British ships from.
And then
it's right on the Delaware.
In Berlin. I'd live there in Berlin. And then, but here's the thing. So I've been living sort of near the hospital for a whole week. And one of the things I really looked for, well, one of the things I looked forward to, aside from seeing my mother recover so well, was the cafeteria.
Of course you did.
It was, if I could, let me just say this, and I'm as a connoisseur
subsidized
of,
cafeteria
as
food.
As a connoisseur of hospital cafeterias, if they could like dole out Michelin stars to hospital cafeterias, I would say the Cascade Cafe at Capital Health would get 3 Michelin stars.
Wow. What was your favorite dish?
Oh, this is really interesting. So I look every day. I'm like, oh, is it time for lunch? I'll see you later. I'm going down. And I would go down.
Glad you're good, Ma.
Hey, good. You're walking good. I got to go down. It's 11:30. And I'd go down. And as any good cafeteria has different stations, right? And so there was the pizza, right? Which is, you know, whatever that is that's pre-made, they put it in the heat in the oven, okay? And then there's specials of the day like the Asian stir fry, which is questionable. My dad kept calling it beef stroganoff. I'm like, no, it says it's Asian stuff. Ah, that's not Asian stuff.
Those are different.
And then they have deli, right? And then they had specials. And then they also had the one that was my big weakness was the grill. And the grill, every day they just decided to throw something into the deep fat fryer. So you would have onion rings, mushrooms, a popcorn shrimp. And it was like every time I walked by, oh, maybe I'll get a salad. I think I should get a chicken salad wrap. And then you'd go to the grill, and there was always, I'm like, well, I wonder how those button mushrooms taste fried.
Well, you know, I mean, what you need to realize is that, of course, the cafeteria also doubles as the business development unit for the cardiology.
I know.
Unit.
I was going to go. Yeah, exactly. Right? No, that's where it's coming from. And I thought, you know, if I stayed there for like another week, I'd probably just check myself in for diabetes. but it was not good. I was like, really? You're being discharged? Can we stay for lunch?
I don't know if Mom's ready to go home.
I don't know. I don't know because the special is chicken fingers, and it was really quite something. Mary Catherine, I just want to thank everybody. Those of you who knew about it, thank you for your thoughts and prayers. And Mary Catherine, I forgot to ask you, Halloween's coming up. That's usually a big time for you.
It is, and I've been so busy. I'm behind on costumes.
What are you going to be?
Well, one of the great things about my fiance is that he is into Halloween costumes.
Oh my gosh.
It's just to me, a sign from God that this is the right person for me.
Yes.
And so the girls and I will be the Powerpuff Girls, and he is going to be Mojo Jojo.
I don't watch any of it, but I bet it's going to look awesome.
Are the Powerpuff Girls back?
Yes.
For kids now?
They have been rebooted.
Wow. Are they good? Because my girls have just missed that. My girls are all Descendants.
Same. We haven't gotten there
Maddie.
Yet. I prefer original Maddie. Powerpuff, but they have been rebooted.
Vic, let me give you one question.
Liv or Maddie?
Liv or Maddie?
Both. You know, it's a trick question. No, if you didn't know what you were going to be, Mary Catherine, I was going to suggest you could be like a Disney villainess. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, took the top spot at the box office with $37 million, followed by Joker with $29 million. And in third place was Zombieland 2 Double Tap with $27 million. box office thoughts. You know, last week you guys discussed Gemini Man, and it looks like it fell about 60% in its second week. What happened, JVL?
I'm shocked that it only fell 60%. You did not force yourself
to
see this because you didn't have to.
This is Will Smith. This should be making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, you know what? Bad Boys 3, Ride or Die, or whatever they're calling it, will make the $300 million because sign me up for like fat halfway out of it, Martin Lawrence.
Where's Martin Lawrence's trainer?
Nobody's funnier this way.
I know.
Though,
that's
right?
What I figured. That was the play. Yeah,
like Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn is funnier when he's fat than when he's skinny, and so is Martin Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I stand by that.
I think that's a solid prediction.
Fat like in Big Mama's House fat, or just like
naturally
fat?
No, just naturally like puffy. Let him go a little bit.
And he looks a little sluggish. I saw the same trailer.
But that's great, right?
Yes.
Like it's really
funny. Well, that's the joke. The joke's on him. Yeah. So
no, but this is as our pal Richard Rushfield said, stars only matter if they're in roles that people want to see them in. And so you put Will Smith in Gemini Man, which is just a disposable action movie, and it just does nothing. But you put him in Aladdin, he's the genie, and it's great, right?
Yeah, yeah. And this is all in the same... I mean, we have to remember, this is all the same year he's doing all this different stuff. I mean, it's coming out, obviously, now. So he's making his money regardless, obviously. So that's the end of Gemini Man.
Is this his attempt at a sort of reconnaissance? Because I feel like he was out of the picture for a while, and then he's suddenly bursting back with Bad Boys and Aladdin.
I don't know. He's working more, I guess, but he never really went away.
I have a reconnaissance thought later on the show, but before we get to that, as I mentioned, third place was Zombieland 2. Did you see it?
I did.
Good. I saw it. JVL?
I saw it. Did anyone else see it?
It's not worth the energy for Zombieland 2. However, JVL, since Sonny isn't here, how about a big boy review?
Zombieland 2 Double Tap is the sequel to 2009's surprise mediocrity Zombieland. Returning director Ruben Fleischer brings back the lovable crew from the first installment, including Woody Harrelson as Tallahassee, Mark Zuckerberg as Columbus, Emma Stone as Wichita, and Abigail Breslin as Little Rock. Double Tap begins with our crew setting up as a quasi-nuclear family in the White House, where they do hilarious things like use the canvas from a portrait of President Taft as wrapping paper. And Columbus uses the Hope Diamond to propose to Wichita, but there's tension. Wichita has commitment issues, and Little Rock, who was an adorable 12-year-old in the first installment, now looks like a Canadian stripper with a 3-pack-a-day habit, and she's itching to leave the nest and start her own life. Little Rock and Wichita split. Columbus finds a rebound girlfriend, played by the delightful Zoe Deutsch, and then our three leads reunite to go find... I'm sorry.
JV, that's the most vicious...
I don't care what happens in this movie.
Pottle enjoy this line.
And neither...
I'm going to say this is the most vicious review since Stuart Klein. He'll appreciate that.
I don't care what happens in this movie, and neither do you. No one asked for this. Nobody needed this movie.
I don't know.
The worst kind of sequel. It's both unnecessary and forced and derivative. It takes whatever meager amounts of charm existed in the first one with the rules that appear on screen and the endless voiceover narration from Jesse Eisenberg. And I mean endless. And just repackages it all with the bare minimum amount of like dutiful, here's your Zombieland.
Does it sort of depend on the fact that they have to keep on moving? They're always going from place to place. They can't settle down, right? They got to keep on going.
They can't.
Right? I mean, that's the part of the whole...
Let me just finish my big boy review.
I didn't realize it's still happening. Okay, go ahead.
Zombieland Double Tap will make your head explode. 2 stars.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now I'm done.
Now it's done. Now that's complete. That was the most meaningful part. I was going to say they're always on the move. They keep on putting things off, like getting married. So this is the whole thing about that. But I was thinking maybe you're putting things off, like getting life insurance, because you think it's complex, expensive, and time-consuming. Not so. Ethos is a faster, easier, and more affordable way to get life insurance to make sure your family's taken care of, even if you aren't around to take care of them. They're committed to finding the plan that's best for you and your budget, all from the comfort of your computer, tablet, or phone in just 10 minutes or less. Simply answer a few questions online about things like your health, age, income, then finish your application and get a near instant approval. Everyone is different, but a healthy 35-year-old can get $1 million of coverage for only $50 a month. With Ethos, you can rest easy knowing the people you love are taken care of. Confusing terms and piles of paperwork not included. Our listeners can get started by going to ethoslife.com/subbeacon and clicking on Check My Price. Again, get a fully personalized quote by going to ethoslife.com/subbeacon. One more time, make sure to visit ethoslife.com/subbeacon so they know we sent you. Mary Catherine, perhaps you have a different opinion of this movie.
Well, first of all, I appreciate being asked to do this movie because this is my favorite genre of movie.
Zombies!
No, oh. Just horror comedy. Sorry, but close. Just horror comedy is one of my favorite things. As okay. proof of this, my kindergarten, this is like my badass creds, my kindergarten lunchbox, and I was in the time when they were still 10 and awesome, was a Gremlins lunchbox. Which means that my parents let me watch Gremlins.
Yeah.
At 5.
That's good. That's good. My family
would
approve.
You were raised by Vic's parents too?
I am a little bit Lady Vic without the Hitler and the underage thing. I eat a lot of bad food. My parents let me watch insane movies. So, and I'm easy to please with movies.
Same.
But
okay.
This being said, because it is my favorite genre, you would think that I'd be over the moon about this movie, and yet I was not. I enjoyed it. Cute for what it is. The voiceover cut it down by 50%.
Let me say, is it too much voiceover? Is it because it's voiceover by Jesse Eisenberg?
It's too much Jesse for me. It was slow to start, which I wasn't too upset about because you're gonna have these weird relationship moments in the apocalypse as well. I'm a little bit like the comic book pedant in about the apocalypse.
Oh,
in that the whole time I'm thinking, they are living an extremely comfortable life with almost no worries during the apocalypse. Where is the electricity coming from? Where is this food coming from? They never seem to worry about it.
Do you notice the throwaway thing about the electricity?
Yes.
Which is clearly a script note.
Yes.
Somebody had said to them, like, hey, we ought to mention where they get electricity from.
What was did I miss that? What did they say?
As long as it keeps raining, the dams keep giving us electricity.
Oh, for...
But they don't load up pallets of water before they leave to go from DC to Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where are they getting their gas from?
So actually.
Yes. Okay.
Did you like the first Zombieland?
I enjoyed the first one, but that was a bit like this one is derivative. So that one was a little bit more surprising. I will say in this one, I got some of my political dopamine hits. And
yeah,
there was a moment.
Extremely 2A.
Yes.
Extremely.
There was a moment where I was about to lean over to my fiance and say, I am kind of enjoying the message here. At which point, Woody Harrelson screams, not subtext, but text, thank God for rednecks.
Yeah, no, it was really quite surprising. Now, I do have a question. If Jesse Eisenberg was the last man on Earth, would you, like Emma Stone, marry him?
He's not my type. It's not my type.
Okay, so here's my thoughts. Okay, I go through my criteria: duration, short, right? It was an hour and a half. Although so then as soon as the movie ended, I did go to the bathroom, and then out of curiosity, I popped in, and suddenly I see Bill Murray and Al Roker. So I did sort of miss part of the opening to that stinger.
You actually missed the funniest part in the movie.
Oh, man.
Did you stay for this, Mary Catherine?
I did.
Okay.
I
saw...
Did you know that it was
going to
be there?
No, I hadn't. I knew that there were whispers about it after the fact, but I didn't know.
So
when it
I caught...
I had no idea.
I only
saw it by luck.
I think... Same. I think I caught most of it. Is the opening... Is it take place prior to...
Yes. So the... What they Jesse Eisenberg does another voiceover where he says, and we're just going to give you a little bonus here. And so it's supposedly found footage of Bill Murray on the international press junket for Garfield 3.
Right. Flabby Tabby.
To me. I don't think Garfield 3 exists.
Exists, though. That's funny.
And the funniest stuff in the movie is Bill Murray's outtake interviews with the International Press Corps. And it gets stupid once it goes to zombie stuff. But while it's him, and they says, you know, so what was it about the third Garfield movie that made you want to do this? And he goes, well, drugs are expensive.
That's great. So I would say, yes, duration was short, hour and a half. Violence, I thought, was entertaining. Plot, easy, very easy.
You were able to keep up with it.
I was able to keep up with it. And bonus, Zoe Deutsch. So therefore, A+. Thank you.
What do you mean by that?
She was great. She was bubbly. And she's a talented actress. Mounds of talent.
The other funny, actually the single funniest line about this is when Zoe Deutsch is trying to get Jesse Eisenberg into the sack. And he says something about, you know, he's watching and he's talking about the Lincoln portrait in the Lincoln bedroom.
Oh, right.
Goes, who? Jesus, I know a way to get around that.
Oh. So, okay.
But she was great. Woo. She's actually, I thought the whole movie only worked when she was on screen because she was the only fresh thing in it.
She was charming. I thought the dialogue was overdone. It was so dumb that it was a lot.
Yeah, but she's.
But I enjoyed really that taxi line a lot. It. That's true.
Yeah, right?
Did you like the cameos by Luke Wilson and Thomas Middleditch? I thought that was kind of funny that they're parallels to Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg.
I thought it was funny, but the Hobbs and Shaw back and forth, it went on
too long.
Maybe a minute too long.
It did not. You know what? Luke Wilson does not make it for a Woody Harrelson crazy analog. Like, that's... It's just he was cast wrong.
Yeah, Team Woody on that one.
Yeah,
if I have to choose.
All right, but I would, you know, but I mean, it's like as far as zombie movies go, and I've seen a few, right?
Yeah, enjoyable, and the culminating fight is colorful and ridiculous, things you want. And I enjoy, I'm sorry, I enjoy the message that these hippies are basically useless, and these guys with the guns are great.
Right. Do you know?
Not the real message. Though.
I know.
The real message is don't go to college.
Oh,
because the commune is the stand-in for college. This is a Peter Thiel movie saying, just live in the real world and live your life. Don't go to college with a bunch of useless morons who sit around playing hacky sack.
Hacky sack. I saw that.
But I think maybe the hippies were given short shrift because they had lasted that long and they had built this thing. And
this
I would have liked to
know. I'm not sure how.
Well, I don't even know if they built the tower, but there's this whole society around it. And the melting of the guns really hurt me.
Well, that's great because, of course, then they said, you know, did you melt all the guns? And they said, well, yeah. How do you think we made these great peace, you know, sign necklaces. The peace necklaces. And then the other one was when he asks, when the hippies ask, can you fight or do you know how to fight? And he says, yeah, I fight for social justice, feminism, equality.
That was one of the funnier lines in the movie.
It's surprising, isn't it, though? I think it's kind of surprising that it was so obvious.
I was surprised it was so explicit.
Yes. But I found it to be a very sort of fun for the family zombie movie versus 28 days later or 28 weeks later. Have you
fun
watched
for the family? Have you taken your girls to see this when you went to see Zombieland 2 Double Tap?
Yeah, we'll wait at least 2 years on this.
At least 2 years, at least. But then they're ready to go.
Well, the younger one needs to be 5, and then we can clearly watch it.
You know, because 28 weeks later, I think Jeremy Renner was in that one. But I get confused between in that series with the rage virus. But it still has one of the worst death scenes of all time.
Do tell.
Robert Carlyle is reunited with his wife, but doesn't realize. I think the wife is a person who carries a carrier. She's a, you know, but she doesn't get sick from the virus herself. Help me, Mr. Science Guy. What do you call it when a person is sort of...
Carrier sounds basically correct,
but it doesn't
affect. You're
talking
about zombies, not science.
Yeah,
I can't really help
but
you.
But what if somebody is recessive? It's recessive. I don't know what it is. He kisses her on the lips, and because of that pass, the transference of the saliva, suddenly he gets affected by the virus, flips out. She's strapped to the table, the hospital table thing, and has to watch her husband go insane. And then kill her, and kills her in the worst possible way. He punches her, he bites her face, and then he gouges her eyes out. And they actually show the thumbs going into the eyeballs. I almost looked away. It was so horrible.
Wow.
So this is not that. And I thought this was enjoyable, and I do enjoy Woody Harrelson's sort of continuing. Amazingly continuing
the Harrelsons.
The Harrelsons.
Yeah. The Woody Sons.
So what is that all about? And you know, if you go to IMDb, you look at it turns out he's just been busy every year or almost every year since Cheers. But in our minds, I think it feels like there was a stretch. But there really wasn't. He's been busy with everything. I enjoyed him in True Detective.
I love that guy unabashedly.
Despite his politics.
And I think the movie partly survives on Woody's charm because I think he's just fun, And I think Zoe Deutsch was funny and pulled that off. Emma Stone generally charming too, although that's not her most charming turn, I would say.
No,
Emma but Stone I liked the moment where she says, "You know, I don't like when women apologize for things, but I actually need to apologize for this." I thought that was nice.
It's funny because Woody Harrelson. There are people who think that he hasn't. My mother-in-law thinks that. I think she thinks that he hasn't done anything since Cheers. So I'll mention. Oh, you know, you might like this movie, The Highwaymen, and with Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, and she'll be like, "Woody Harrelson, what's he been doing?" And I'm sure she listens to the show. She also says the same thing about Drew Barrymore. She's like, "Oh, poor Drew Barrymore. Ever since E.T.,
she was so good in E.T.
She was so good in E.T. And now all she does is host Turner Classic Movies, and it's because of drugs and alcohol. E.T., Turner Classic Movies.
There you go. That's it's a career arc.
That's it. Do you have any other Zombieland thoughts or anything?
Well, I have questions.
Oh yeah,
for you
sure,
guys.
Yeah, sure. And we have other things to discuss. Don't get nervous, listeners. It's not over yet.
So, MK, you are a lover of this genre, the Shaun of the Dead-ish genre. Could you do a ranking?
Oh, gosh. I thought about this in the car on the way over, and I will attempt it. Let's see.
Since you were driving, you weren't taking notes? Is that it?
Yeah, okay. I didn't take notes. Let's see. My top couple. I'm not even going to give it a number
three.
Right now.
Give us top three.
Okay, my top three. My top three would be, actually, maybe I'll do a top four because Shaun of the Dead, I'll put four. Three, this is so silly, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, wow.
I really enjoy that movie. Number two, Slither, an early James Gunn movie. Which
is that the one with Sharon Stone and Billy Baldwin?
No, it has Nathan Fillion.
Sliver.
And
Sliver. Which everybody went to see after Basic Instinct. Go ahead. Sorry.
Nathan Fillion is it Elizabeth Banks? Is that her name?
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
Blanking on her name. That just cracks me up and is the reason I've followed James Gunn since. I just delighted in that movie. And number one, the classic Gremlins.
There are some people who like Gremlins too. I think Cotton Eddie is in that camp.
Gremlins 2 is great. It's Die Hard with Gremlins.
Is it not Phoebe Cates?
Yeah, no, Phoebe Cates.
She's
in it.
And the guy, the same guy and girl.
Yes. They're grown up and
Galligan.
Chasing their dreams.
Phoebe Cates. Okay.
You all right there?
I have a question. Yes. Do you have another question?
Okay. No, I just when you said Phoebe Cates, you just started staring at the middle distance.
You know, I zoned out. Yeah. Zoned out to
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You could basically end the movie there. Would you live in...
Someone did.
Would you... Thank you. That and Blue Lagoon, which I always bring up. Blue Lagoon, I never knew they got rescued. I thought the movie ended when she got pregnant.
Yeah.
You always fell asleep when you were watching it.
I get very tired. Would you live in Babylon? Or would you be like, we got to just be on the fight, go on the hunt, and I'll kill zombies? Or would you be happy to live in Babylon?
I would live at the hotel with Rosario.
Oh,
that was
yes,
the place.
Totally, absolutely.
No,
agree.
I'm not fortified enough.
But it's on low. You're right,
low ground.
She seemed to do pretty well for herself.
Yeah, but that's because she's below the radar and just one person.
She's very cool.
But do you like no payoff about the blue suede shoe stuff?
Yeah, that was odd.
Again, this is just, it feeds to me the sloppiness throughout the movie and the, you know,
Man,
I love me Rosario Dawson. I think she's great in everything she does. Even here, I was like, yeah. They don't give her a lot to work with.
Anyway, I was thinking about Babylon and everything. I'd live there, but I bet they do a lot of meditating in Babylon. Speaking of which, JVL.
Wow, that's like a C-minus transition. So we're back with our friends at Calm.com. Calm.com, C-A-L-M.com. It is a sleep app for your phone. We are big users of it at our house. Everybody except for the baby uses it. Even Flash uses it now. It is an app with meditations and guided breathing exercises and an ever-expanding library of sleep stories, which is largely what we use it for. And I always like to play little clips of what we're listening to this week. And so this week, Favorite has been listening to a story called Luna's Lullaby, which is read by the amazing Tamara Levitt.
Hi, my name's Tamara, and tonight I'll be reading a story called Luna's Lullaby. Cozy up under the covers and get nice and comfortable.
So I have a little bit of a celebrity story here.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Because Shannon, my wife, after Favorite, you know, was one of these, she's like walking around the house at like 9:45, like, I can't fall asleep. And we're like, well, did you put on Calm? She's like, no. Because she does this a lot because she doesn't really want to go to sleep. She wants to stay up reading. And so we're like, all right, well, you know, go get in bed. We'll put on Calm. And so it knocks her the F out, as it always does, because it's like, you know, covering her mouth with a rag of, what is
chloroform?
It? Wonder Woman. The chloroform that they always used to do.
Why are you looking at me for that?
Well, I who could say? So my wife tweets about how amazing Calm is, because we do this even when we're not being paid, because we're such huge evangelists for Calm. And she mentions the greatness of Tamara, and Tamara replies.
Whoa!
Wow.
And so the next morning, when my wife shows this to Favorite is like, oh, I can't believe she thinks that my wife is now super cool. Because
she knows.
Tamara, right.
This is a funny
and
thing.
So she's like, I have an idea. Would you mind sending her my idea? And so she, I guess my wife DM'd Tamara with, you know, hey, my daughter just asked me to pass on this idea for sleep story. And Tamara was like, that's great. I'll mention that to our story editor. And anyway, so it's not only a great product, but it's made by great people. So anyway, we pay full freight for Calm.com, but you don't have to. Right now, Subbeacon listeners will get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/subbeacon. That's calm.com/subbeacon. 40 million people have downloaded Calm. Find out why at calm.com/subbeacon.
Tamara Levitt calmed me down just the other day, so shout out to her.
Yeah,
as well.
Oh, you're user
I woke
too?
Up. I woke up a little stressed out. It was very early in the morning, and I was like, you know what? I could use a little more sleep, and I turned on Calm.
Yeah, do you do the meditations or the?
I actually did
stories?
A sleep story.
Yeah, do you like the kids ones or the grown up ones?
It was a grown up one.
Yeah,
although when she says an adult sleep story, I go, is it really?
Is it now? Hold on, I'll be right back. I was going to make a joke, but we value our sponsors,
yes,
so I
yes.
won't. Thank you.
Yeah, wait till we're off air.
That's right.
In the
no,
premium.
No. It's for premium content. Two other things going on this week. One is I think, even though I'm sure it's going to kill Sonny because he'd love to talk about it, but the Star Wars final trailer is out. The final trailer, the one that you watch and you say, this is it. I thought Empire Strikes Back was great. But this movie is going to clinch it.
MKH, you go first.
Oh, jeez. This is where the audience bails on me. I have some confessions to make. I was a Star Wars virgin until about a year and a half ago.
I remember this.
Yeah.
Because there was a whole thing with Kristen asking people what order to show it to
yes.
you in.
So did you just cram it all in there? I mean, the movies. I mean, the movies.
So I did actually watch the original Star Wars last year.
What and order did you do?
Yes, very important.
Did you do machete order?
I did. Well, I did Rogue One and then the originals and then moved on. And I must confess, I have not finished all the prequels.
It's better that way.
Skip one, two, and three.
It's better that way.
But, in the silly way that someone who's never seen Star Wars would say, wow, these are fantastic films. This is great. This really holds up. And it holds up despite Lucas's attempts to mess with it. The original effects are fantastic. I wondered if somebody who was not into it as a kid coming back to it at this point would think, oh, this is cheesy. No, they look fantastic. Great job.
Yep.
Understand the whole thing. That being said, now that we're here and I'm not a super fan and I watch this trailer, there's one line that comes across the screen like, the story goes on forever or something like that. And I thought, indeed it does.
Have you seen the new ones in the theaters?
Now I'm going to have to figure out what
the
I've seen.
The Force Awakens.
And what I have I have seen The Force Awakens. Enjoyed it.
The Last Jedi? Was that what it was
The Last
called?
Jedi, and then what's this one called? The Rise of Skywalker?
Okay, so isn't it a kind of The Last Jedi, weird, the one where Luke like goes and milks the dinosaur.
Yeah, I have not seen The Last Jedi, but I saw The Force Awakens and enjoyed it. It just, the first and second, Empire Strikes Back specifically, I just obviously was like, well, this is... Yeah. I get why people love this.
And so when you saw this trailer, did you think to yourself, boy, well, I got to go out and see that?
I didn't. Sorry.
The opening of the trailer.
I like Rey. I find her interesting, but I had the same.
What do you find interesting about her?
Well, I just kind of dig her as an actress. But I have the same issues that you guys have discussed, which is like, where does all this skill come from? I don't.
The opening of the... here's the new final trailer, right?
Rose is in it.
I saw that. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness for
Rose. Thank goodness. Insert joke here. Okay. So I was excited. I said, ooh, final trailer. Here we go. And it opens very quiet and still. And then, boom, off to the races. They've never done that before, have they?
I can't remember.
Where it starts off quiet.
Seems like it never is like that.
No, they've never done that. That was really something. And C-3PO... is no longer having the red arm.
The nostalgia porn of C-3PO. I just want to look at my friends, sir, for one last time. Like he's a Dickens character or
something.
Haven't
people said that Anthony Daniels is very difficult to work with? Don't people say that about Anthony Daniels? Okay.
Is he still alive?
That's him!
Is he still doing the voice?
Yeah, it's not. I'm pretty sure it's not true. Chewbacca died. The original
Peter Mayhew.
He did. Okay, so what is happening what are we supposed to figure out here? The Emperor is back with Force, the original Empire. Is that what's going on? So they wouldn't call it the new Empire. It's the old Empire with all the Star Destroyers. That's what's been happening?
It's called the First Order.
Help me out. But is he taking control of the First Order then? And is that what's happening?
Time travel?
I'll take time travel.
Right. I mean, there's a Death Star somehow... in an ocean, because that makes sense.
Yes, yes.
Like there's always a Death Star,
or it looks like the remains of the Death Star.
Were there horses at one point?
Oh, there are horses running across the Death Star in the ocean.
Yes. Okay, this reminded me of the Fast and Furious submarine scene,
which was not a stretch.
I think it was Fate of the Furious.
It was not a stretch. That was very realistic. And maybe they'll show the casino. That would be nice.
I hope so. I assume that that's where all the recruits...
The kids?
Because when we finished...
The kids.
There were 13 people as part of the Resistance at the end of the last movie, and they said, we have everything we need. The other guys have thousands of worlds, trillions of Star Destroyers, the entire currency system, and absolute control of all transport and trade routes.
Not enough.
But it isn't enough...
That's right.
To hold up against the 13 people sitting around in the hold of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, do they have heart?
I would say the good news
the ground game is in their hearts.
Hypothetically, if there's a new Death Star, right? There's multiple Death Stars. Is that what's happening? If the Death Star happens to blow up the Rebel base and the planet explodes, luckily Princess Leia, General Leia, can go through space in cold temperature.
So I'm just going to lay down one marker. Because each one of these movies has been an inferior retelling of the original trilogy. And if this movie ends with Rey turning Kylo back to the light side of the Force...
Well, you know
and
that's
the two
what's
of
gonna,
them
yeah.
teaming up.
Mm-hmm. There's a clip of them, two of them breaking up the Emperor's statue.
Come the F on.
Right. You saw that. Did you see the two of them teamed up?
Obviously.
It's
this is
happen.
What... I mean...
She starts off bad... And then she eventually comes around, and then...
No, he starts off bad, and then he brings her.
Right, doesn't she... Yeah, that's right, but then she flips, obviously, so she's briefly bad.
And the story goes on forever.
It will.
It will never... So Flash said to me, after he saw this trailer, he says, wait a minute, there's another Star Wars movie coming out? And I laughed at him, and I said... I said, son, there's another Star Wars movie coming out every December for the rest of your life. And he didn't understand it. And I said, you know what? It's called intellectual property. I'll explain it to you when you're older.
That's right. Go ahead.
The fiance is a big Star Wars fan. And I think this speaks to the issue with this trailer is that I said, I think we're going to talk about this. And he had very little to say about that. What he wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I quote, put on your seatbelt because we're going on a nerd ride. was he wanted to talk about, and forgive me because I forget the details, something about Disney Plus and how that...
Oh, the Mandalorian?
He's much more interested in the Mandalorian.
IG 14,
40, 12, IG.
IG 88.
Oh, thank you.
The Mandalorian...
It's not IG 88, it's a different IG, go ahead.
No, he's more interested in the Mandalorian, it sounded like, and something about what Disney Plus portended for Star Wars gaming, I didn't follow.
Right now, Sonny Bunch is banging his head. Something about Netflix, Disney, I don't know. Something's going on out there.
Look, I put on my seatbelt, but I was not paying attention to the road, okay?
Are they taking the giant Star Wars MMORPG and putting it on Disney Plus somehow?
See, this is what I don't know.
I'm
sorry to bring you half.
Yes.
I can't possibly get it up.
All I know
for, like,
is that
Star Wars
Verizon is carrying it for a year. That's all I know. Disney Plus will carry Verizon. Verizon will carry it for a year, so then they'll sort of get us addicted to that channel, and then we'll see what happens.
Point being, the trailer was not what interested him.
Yeah, no, I don't want to. Okay. I am very, very interested to see how this movie opens, because on the one hand, it is really the analog is the Avengers Infinity Wars. Right. This is the summation of what has been a decade long journey, even though it's not really taken a decade in terms of movie time. But they've been planning this out for like a decade. And they're going to bring it out. But it is after a movie that everybody hates. Like, everybody hates The Last Jedi.
Yeah, this is going to be hard.
And I wonder if there is any hangover effect there.
Solo got punished.
And I sure hope this movie gets punished, too.
And yet we're going to have to see it.
Well, that's the thing. At what point... At what point do people feel like they're no longer married to Star Wars?
That's right.
Star Wars is the uncle that you don't like, and you have to see him once a year at the family Christmas party or something. But at some point, everybody says, you know what? I am fed up with Aunt Kathy, right? Or like, I'm just not going to see Aunt Kathy anymore.
And that's it. We're doing our own thing.
Yeah. Maybe this is the year.
I don't know. Okay. You threw me off. I was going to say something. Now I forgot.
This is y'all's Frozen 2.
Right.
Like, I'm
you tell
infuriated
me.
That I'm going to
I'm
see
I'm not going to Frozen see Frozen 2.
I am so angry about being made to see. Look horrible? Or am I
Is there going to be a new Let It Go song that every girl is going to be singing?
I was not as enamored, as we know, of the first Frozen as you are.
But you were a pretty big fan.
But I enjoyed it, yes. And I know why they're doing this one, and it's the part where I know why they're doing it for the, you know, the merchandising. I'm not interested, but I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do the thing, and I'm going to take my kids.
My Target has an entire, I would say probably 1,500 square feet of floor space.
Already for?
Set up, and has been for the last month, all around Frozen 2 merchandise.
Yeah.
The nightgowns, the lunch boxes,
my
daughter's the trapper
my
keepers,
is luckily,
the Lego sets.
My daughter has luckily turned against. She is very anti-Frozen now because I think it's the attitude of, it's for babies.
It's
all about Descendants. I guess
I'm
I'll
told
have to
that,
see that movie again.
I'm told this princess phase does end, and when it does, it ends violently. Like,
yeah,
it
certainly did for my daughter, but I don't know if that's
it goes from like princess
everybody.
To tiny whore. So
well,
you will someday be longing for the princess stuff.
I do have a Star Wars like debate with my children going on where I troll them by announcing to them that Elsa is the villain of this movie.
Oh wow, that throws them off.
They will fight. They will throw down over
that's
it.
Crazy. That's crazy stuff. JVL, before we move on, did you want to talk World Series?
I can do it during outtakes.
Okay. Sounds good. In that case, and we don't have any more corrections, shout-outs, nothing? You gave your shout-outs, Mary Catherine.
Vic, yeah. I have a question.
Shoot.
When you're at the hospital.
Yes.
Do you work the hospital staff the way you work every other room that you're in? Instead of inquiring about your mother's condition, you're more glad-handing with
the
doctor.
The nurses,
over at the shift desk, talking to everybody, bringing in donuts for the
I
nurses.
I leave the shift desk people alone. They look very serious. But certainly all the nurses that come in.
Vic Mattis, really love your support on October 4th. Nice to meet you. Vic Mattis.
The what do you call it? The respiratory therapists, the physical therapists. Hi, how are you? Thank you so much. The whole deal. The funny thing is, for me, if I were a if I were like my dad, I would, you know, the first thing I would say is, hi, by the way, I'm a doctor, you know, so let's, you know, I know what you're up to. Don't try to pull one on me. But I don't think my dad necessarily did that, but then I think they just could tell because he'll start asking questions, you know, what's her hemoglobin count or whatever. And I'm like, I know what's going on there.
Did you ask those sorts of questions too?
None. Oh yeah, you know, like they're like removing like these drainage tubes. It was like Saving Private Ryan. I was like, pass. I was like, oh, are you all in the medical field? I said, take a wild guess. The one of us here in this room who's not in the medical field. I said, I'm gonna go. I said, you clean up the dressing, and I'm gonna go. Speaking of dressing, I think I'm gonna go down to the cafeteria and put some on my salad. Okay, that's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments, tweet us at Victorino Mattis at JVL. You kind of replied. No. The Morimoto thing. Gone. Really?
Nope.
In and out. At MK Hammer.
That's right. And I should shout out.
Oh, yeah, please.
KSA. Fan of the show, friend of the show, who made me watch the Star Wars.
Is she.
She's never going to speak to us again for bringing you
on
before.
No, is she jealous that she
I haven't. Uh-oh. Told her
she's gonna drop us like we're hot.
Know, that's I know it was really, that was a hard call. We love you both.
God knows we couldn't have had two girls in the studio at the same time.
Gosh.
Sunny would have broken up with us.
You would have broken
Sunny
up with
killed
us.
The
we
show.
Would have really chicked up your dudes chatting. Despite my engagement this week, I did not chick it up too much. I left it
You were very,
very
no,
chill.
I thought you were very chill. You were very chill about
it. I could have done a bunch
that.
Of ring details,
really,
but yeah. I did not.
A lot of people do that sort of thing. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Just type in Subbeacon on a podcast. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time. Sonny, I'm sorry. JVL. So you're excited.
So neither of you were here last week when we were talking about my World Series dilemma.
I heard about how the dilemma was resolved, but please.
And my
tell
question
us.
My question was, what is the dividing line price wise between Father of the Year taking his 11-year-old son to the World Series
and
like absolute insane, don't waste your money like that. What is the price point at which you tip over from one into the other?
Ooh. One game.
For one game.
Yeah, just one.
For one game.
$400 tickets. $400 tickets.
Okay.
This could be... I mean, it's not like... I remember watching the documentary on the Red Sox before they won the World Series, and they talk about that, you know, you got to see this now because you'll never see this in your lifetime again. This will never happen again. I don't know if I necessarily have that feeling. It's a very young franchise, per se, at least in its current iteration. And I don't feel like, oh, you know, I was, you know, 8 and now I'm 75, you know, so I wouldn't spend more than that. But there is somebody in our office who, you know, who has spent $400. Please.
MKH, where are you on this?
I think I sort of close to the same place. I think once you pass over $1,000 for the, I'm a person who wants to spend money on sports moments. I mean, this is huge.
I was going to say, this is
Flash is a huge baseball fan. I mean, this is a moment. I think it's worth, I don't think you'd regret spending a bunch of money on it later.
But for you, a bunch of money on it is $400 a ticket.
Yeah, I think JVL, once you hit $1,000, that's a lot.
Then you're insane and you should be committed. JVL, what did you end up doing?
So you couldn't get even to a standing room seat for under $800 a place. So
I shouldn't be surprised.
Understand that. And that struck me as a little nuts. I might have gone as high as $1,000 a seat for like a seat,
mm-hmm.
but for standing room,
yeah.
So $1
just to be in the moment,
$800.
Yes,
wow,
was more than I was willing to spend.
You could have bought a box seat for the WNBA final.
However, your friend and mine, Aaron Harrison, God bless him, he starts texting me after we did the show last week, and he's like, "I can fix this for you." Ooh. Because it turns out, if you will simply buy a half-season ticket plan for next year, they were willing to sell you face value tickets this year. And so I bought two seats for a half a season next year and then got two seats, actual seats, not standing room, for all three home games of the World Series.
Wow.
Yup.
you could be there for.
Oh, how that is 100% worth it.
That's amazing. That is worth it. That and amazing. Because Father of the Year, when I told Flash all about this, and he went over the moon. I also informed him that we were giving away the two tickets for one of those games to a very close friend of ours who has a daughter who the two of them are his giant Nats fans and they weren't able to get tickets. And I said, and we're going to give them to our buddies. And Flash looked at me with this like look of horror in his eyes. And I was like, because I want you to learn this thing, that this is a windfall. This is a blessing. And what we do is we share our blessings with the ones we love. And I feel like this was me crushing fatherhood.
Now, I agree with that. I was going to say, as consolation for Flash, if you had not gotten the tickets, that there is utility and there's character building in learning that you don't always get these big moments. As I learned when my father got several tickets for the game I wanted to see more than anything, which is the Duke Carolina basketball game at Cameron, and he shared them with visitors from our Russian sister city instead of me.
What?
And I thought, well, I'm sure they'll enjoy this cultural experience.
What is the Russian sister city?
It was Kostroma. Yeah.
Is that a real city? Was it one of these fake cities that were built in like 1970?
Was this like the Americans where they were actually, they were spies?
Was there an RBMK reactor?
Well, all I know is they got my tickets.
Okay. Did you enjoy doing the show?
I did. I think the audience, I should have shouted out to the audience for not immediately rejecting me and turning it off, so...
I
know.
I think we'd love
chicken
to.
The
next,
room.
Next time one of us is missing, we'd love to have you back. In fact, I was thinking, you know what? Would you see the movie for Christmas, Last Christmas, with Emilia Clarke and Henry Golding?
Oh, I'll see any of those movies.
You know those movies? I don't think anybody else wants to see it. And you know what? I want to see it. We should do a show because of the parallels with that movie. You are a white woman and I'm a attractive Asian man.
Yeah, this is. We're going down a great path.
I'm sure it's fine.